Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today pre-market podcast. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Tuesday, the 12th of March. And as usual, with all the information contained in this podcast, it is general advice only. So please do your own research. Contact your own financial advisor about any of the ideas, thoughts, or insights in this podcast. All right. Well, if you're listening to this podcast free, we'd love to have you on board, Marcus, today as part of our community. You can sign up for a free 2-week trial of the newsletter on marcustoday.com.au. Some wonderful insights, recommendations, model portfolios, education articles, so much to get your teeth into. And if you have any problems, you can always give us a buzz or email us, and we will be only too happy to help. And of course, we also have a wonderful Facebook discussion group as well. Members helping members, very much the motto there. All right, well, let's get on to the scores on the doors as normal. SPY Futures closing up 5 points, which is something, I guess, after a 143-point down day yesterday, 1.8% down, just holding the 7700 level, 7704. So a pretty miserable day yesterday, and it was a coordinated attack, really. We had an attack on resources, down 2.6%, and the banks down 2.7%. Big, big falls in the Aussie banks, which hit pretty much all-time highs on Friday, coming well and truly off the boil yesterday. Profit-taking setting in there. Also, we did see resources in the doghouse yesterday, and iron ore in Asian trade was down 6.5%, 7%. So that very much in focus. And as a result, we have seen those iron ore stocks hit hard yesterday and suspect there will be further weakness today. So once again, it will be an interesting day. US markets, though, pretty quiet session. I know everyone talks about how volatile things are, but the actual volatility in the US at an index level is actually not that huge. Although we did see the VIX volatility index perk up to 15.2, so well and truly off its lows. That was up 3%. Dow Jones up 47 points, or 0.12%, to 38,770. Had a high of up 72 and a low of down 239. The Nasdaq down 0.4%, 66 points, clickety-click, 16,019. Looks as if it's going to dip below that 16,000 level. The S&P 500 down 6 points, in the middle for diddle, down 0.11%, 51.18. And the Russell down 0.8%, 17 points to 2,066 there. So we did see the second day that the S&P 500 closed lower. Technology stocks struggling. Nvidia struggling, was down 2%. AMD was down 4.3%. Netflix down 0.6%. Meta, the artist formerly known as Facebook, down 4.4%. Tesla had a better day, up 1.4%. Amazonians down 1.9%. Alphabetti Spaghetti up 1.9%. Microsoft down 0.4%. And Apple up 1.2%. There does seem to be a bit of rotation going on in the tech sector at the moment. Apple, which has been a little bit of a dog, and we did go down from the Magnificent 7 to the Fab 4. But it looks as if we are seeing some selling in the likes of Nvidia, AMD, etc., and buying into Apple and maybe Tesla. So a little bit of rotation going on there. Of course, the biggie this week is the February Consumer Price Index, which is due Tuesday. The economists are expecting a rise of 0.4% between January and February, 3.1% on an annualized basis, that excluding volatile food and energy prices, which after all is the only things you really need, aren't they? The so-called core basket is expected to increase 0.3% on the month and 3.7% for the year, still some way above the 2-3% target band that the Fed is going for. So plenty of reasons for the Fed to stay on hold for the time being. But it was a relatively quiet day in the US in terms of volume. We did see US 10 years 4.096, up 0.8 of a basis point. The 2 years, 4.538, 4.8 basis points higher. The Aussie 10 years, still below 4%, 3.99. The Bitcoin price, absolutely roaring ahead as it approaches the halving. or The Reckoning, as I talked about, up 4.1%, $2,844 high, $72,130. I think that is a new high. The Aussie dollar 66.12 and the US dollar up 0.14 of a percent. There, European markets a little bit flippy, floppy. We had Stock 600 down 0.4, FTSE up 0.1 of a percent. In the commodities space, Brent crude rising slightly 0.56 of a percent, 46 cents to $82.40. WTI was down 9 cents or 0.11% to $78.90. The US gold price doing okay still, another $4.50 higher, 0.21%, $2,182. But certainly that hanging in there at those high levels as the US dollar continues to be just a little bit pressured. Platinum, 2.6% higher. Silver, 0.7%. We had copper up 0.7%. Nickel up 1.2%. Aluminium up 0.6%. Zinc up 1.5%. Lead up 1%. Tin pretty much unchanged. Iron ore was the big mover. 6.5% to 7% down. Uranium also under some pressure. Hasn't been the same since those Cameco results showed that it was no longer really interested in buying spot uranium, back down to $91 a pound. Lithium did edge higher in China last night, up around 3%. And we did see US ADRs in BHP down 2%. Rio's down 1.1%. We also had Freeport-McMoRan up 1.4%. Vale down 3.1%. But better from the lithium sector, Arcadium up 1.4%. Albemarle having a good night, up 5.4%. SQM up 6.4%. Sigma up 7.9%. It does seem that when Tesla, I get the two confused, easy to do, they're much similar businesses. When Tesla has a good night, 1.4% higher last night in the US, then we do get a little bit of a bounce in some of those lithium stocks. For many American investors, lithium is all about Tesla. So that is the way of things. Sigma, as I said, up 7.9%. US banks are not doing an awful lot, to be honest. Very little interest there. CBA was down 2.5% overseas. And ResMed up 0.7% of a percent overseas. So we may see a little bit of buying creeping into those lithium stocks today. We may see a little bit of bargain hunting around in some of the industrials, although it is unlikely to spread very far in terms of the resource stocks. Now, for those of you playing at home, the US has changed its clock, so the Dow now closes at 7 a.m., not 8 a.m. in Sydney and Melbourne. So just bear that in mind when you're looking at closing prices for US markets. They come out an hour earlier for the time being. All right, we do get a little bit of economic information out today. We've got the NAB's February business survey, and we're also going to get the first public address from newly appointed Sarah Hunter, who is now an assistant governor at the Reserve Bank. I came across Sarah when she was working as an economist in the private sector. She is very good and a very welcome addition to the RBA, that is for sure. Also, if you thought this week had some big news with the US CPI, next week is shaping up with even bigger news. We do have the Bank of Japan meeting, and it is widely expected that the Bank of Japan will raise rates for the first time since 2007. I have written about this in my article today in the newsletter, talking about a shift in the force. First time since 2007. Now, the Bank of Japan has for a long year been experimenting with negative interest rates. They are widely expected to move them from negative to zero. This experiment in negative interest rates had varying degrees of success around the world. Of course, during the pandemic, we did see, well, at one stage, even before the pandemic, we saw $16 trillion worth of negatively yielding bonds. The Japanese have continued that, and part of their economic miracle, if that is the right word, certainly the miracle in terms of the equity market there hitting all-time highs, is that the weak yen has encouraged investment in the country, and it has also encouraged the carry trade to some extent. And the carry trade is something where you borrow money in cheap countries like Japan for next to nothing, and you then use that money elsewhere on the globe. Now, the carry trade is quite an important thing, and although that won't end with the Bank of Japan pushing rates up to zero, there certainly is a bit of a shift in the four. So it's worth having a think about that today. A few ex-dividends today, IGO and News Corp, all trading ex-dividend. Adairs said its chairman, Brett Chenoweth, will step down this month after he's going to focus on other roles in tech and media. And Ramelius Resources out this morning expects $1.7 billion in gold proceeds over the next 10 years from the Western Australian-based Mount Magnet sign. Also in the AFR today, it looks like Quantum IP, Adamantem, which is a private equity company, is bidding around $260 million for the company, which is a 58% premium. So more on that again in the newsletter today in terms of what's happening there. Not much else out in terms of news. We have got Telex Pharmaceuticals appointing Darren Patti as COO. Dreadnought Resources has noted Mangaroon nickel, copper, cobalt and platinum gold equivalent project to revert full ownership back to Dreadnought, effective the 11th of March, follows a decision by First Quantum Minerals to withdraw from the project as it seeks to direct cash flow towards major projects associated with its operations. Bapcor, some news out there. George Saud has been appointed interim CFO. And we have got Bellevue Gold reporting February production numbers, 13,364,000 ounces, on track for H2 guidance of 75,000 to 85,000 ounces. Strike Energy out with some news this morning. The Wei Ring gas field has exceeded nameplate capacity, reaching 34 terajoules per day and 265 barrels of oil equivalent of condensate as well. So a little bit of news out there from Strike Energy. Surprisingly, after reporting season, there's not much in the way of broker moves. Regal Partners has been initiated by Ord Minnett, price target $3.60. My friends at Pitt Street Research, which is a pretty good independent house with Mark Kenneth there, knows his stuff, has done a piece today which I've received on Freelancer, talking about the world's largest online workforce powered by AI. So there you go. They've got a valuation range of 71 to 93 cents. Now, I remember talking about the world's largest online workforce was Appen, where they talked about having a million people they could call upon. Well, that didn't work out too well for Appen shareholders. But there has been rumours of, in the past, of some M&A activity surrounding Freelancer, I guess, and Airtasker as well. In other news, Transurban downgraded to neutral from outperform at Macquarie. Certainly lots of talk in Sydney and I suspect elsewhere in the country about toll roads. There has been a review and certainly there are going to be some changes initiated in toll roads. So probably not a positive for Transurban, although it would be very hard for state governments to get out of the contracts that they have, which underpin the tolling environment for these guys. The best they can do is offer incentives and cashback offers for those. Well, that is about it, as they say. This morning, not a lot of real news around, very much concentrating on that core CPI number from the US. We always seem to be waiting on something. Yesterday was a pretty shocking day, down 143 points. I suspect we're not going to get much of a bounce in BHP, Rio and Fortescue, given the falls in Asia, although some of those falls in Asia will have been anticipated because traders will have been watching that price fall in Asia and trading yesterday on the back of it. So maybe the worst has passed, but we shall see how that one goes. That's about it from me today. Thanks very much for listening. Have a great day. And as always, may the trading gods be with you. And if you like what you've heard on this podcast, we'd love to have you on board. And you can join or take up a free trial on markustoday.com.au.